day, everybody. This is Ms. Cece, the Real Infopreneur. And today we will be talking with the creators of Corbin's Fun Learning Adventures, five-year-old Corbin and his mother, Andrea Stevenson. We will also talk with Andrea a little bit later about her financial literacy book that she's written with her brother, who has a background in the stock market. So let's see here. Corbin, do we have you with us and your mommy?
Yes.
Oh, goodness. Well, good morning. It's so early. Thank you for joining me. I appreciate you so much. So can you tell me about your YouTube channel?
Can you tell us about your YouTube channel? What kind of things do you have on there?
I have science experiments and games.
Okay, games. Now, you know, I got a chance to look at the one where you were making the bubbles. That was exciting.
Yeah, that was so cool. And there's also another one that you did the big bubbles. Did you watch that one or the one that we made the little bubbles?
Well, I didn't even see the one about the little bubbles, but I definitely saw the one with the big bubbles where you were using some different terms for the sticks you were using. You were calling them dowels. Wow, I didn't know that sticks were called dowels, and I bet a lot of our other young listeners didn't know that term, so thank you for introducing us to that.
You're welcome.
Yes.
And I also have 105 subscribers to my channel.
Well, we hope to help you add more subscribers to your channel. So what was your favorite experiment so far?
Well, my favorite experiment so far was the egg drop experiment.
Ooh, tell us about that, because I saw that you just did that. What was that one about?
Oh, yeah, I just did the egg drop one yesterday. I did the egg drop one about 2 days ago.
What materials do you need for the egg drop experiment?
I needed some food coloring, some water, a toilet paper roll, an empty toilet paper roll. I needed cups. And
plates, right?
And plates and an egg.
Yes.
Yeah.
And
you set it like you put the two cups together, and then you put the plate in the middle of the two cups. Mm-hmm. And then
His earpiece fell out.
That's okay.
You have to hold it in. Hold it in your ear.
And
all right, once you put the plate on the cups, and then you put the...
Yeah, I put the toilet paper roll on the plate, and you put them in the middle of the cups.
And then you push the plate from under the toilet paper rolls, and what happens to the egg?
You push the plate from under the toilet paper rolls, and the egg drops into the cup, and the toilet paper and the plate goes away.
Yeah, he pushes the plate from under the toilet paper roll, and the eggs drop into the water. So it's a law of Newton that he was testing. So that's how we colored our eggs this year. Because in the water is, he has food coloring in it. So he had all types of colors.
Yeah, and Easter is on April 12th.
Well, Easter's today, this morning. Today's April 12th.
Yay, happy Easter!
Wow.
Easter today.
Oh my goodness. So what colors did you use, Corbin?
We used orange on brown egg and made like chocolate eggs.
Oh my goodness. Wow. Okay.
And what other colors did you use?
I used blue and red, black.
Oh yeah, black.
Ooh.
And you used one more color.
Green.
Yeah.
And we also I didn't think about the last. Do we have anything else we made?
I think that's all the colors that we used for the egg drop experiment.
No.
No.
I thought we used pink.
Okay, we used pink too. That's right.
I think.
Okay, so Corbin, if our listeners want to tune into your channel, how would they find you on YouTube?
You just type in Corbin's Fun Learning Adventures.
Well, Corbin's Fun...
Fun Adventures and Learning.
No, you're right. Corbin's Fun Learning Adventures. You're right.
Corbin's Fun Learning Adventures.
Yeah.
Okay, Corbin. And can you tell the listeners how to spell Corbin?
C-O-R-B-A-N.
All right. Well, thank you so much. We're going to let you go off and do some more experiences and experiments while we talk with Mommy, okay?
Okay.
Thank you.
Thank you.
Good job.
I had fun talking about my channel, and yay. I also have something else to tell you.
What is it?
I have 100, over 100 subscribers. I'm getting a toy from Walmart, and it's called Blade Blades.
Oh, well, you know what? We may have to have you back on so you can talk to us about Blade Blades, okay?
Okay.
All right. See you later.
Anyway. All right. Say yeah. Bye.
Yeah. Actually, Ms. Katrina, I got to talk to you. Ms. Cece?
Yes, sir.
The Blade Blades are coming. I only bought one, but it's called Blade Blades, but they're coming on March the 17th.
Okay.
March 27th.
Well, you know, we're in April now. Oh, April. Okay, April 27th. Okay, well, we look forward to hearing about that later, okay?
Okay, bye.
Bye. Well, everybody, that was Corbin, his first real live interview talking about his YouTube channel. Corbin's fun learning adventures. And now we will continue on with his mom, Andrea. All right. Well, thank you, Andrea, for allowing us to speak with him.
He's very engaged
with his channel. That's great.
Yes, he is. He loves his channel.
Okay. So tell our listeners how you actually came up with that idea to create a channel for a five-year-old.
Well, I was blogging at first, and on my blog is called simplyoutrageousyouth.com. And so I would just share some of the fun learning activities that I would do with Corbin. And when I was doing that, I would never show his face. So you would see his hands or you would see the back of his head. And so ever since he was 4 years old, he was like, oh, I want to be on TV, because he likes watching the YouTube show Ryan's Tour Review, and he likes watching some of the other kids that do tour reviews on YouTube. Mm-hmm. And I guess he was looking at it, and he was like, I want to be on TV. So I was like, oh, okay, because I never showed his face on the internet. So I didn't really think much of it, but he kept asking and kept asking. So once he turned 5, I was like, okay. He asked me if he could be on TV. I was like, okay, well, let's create your own YouTube channel and see how that goes. And so I asked him what he wanted to do. So he said he wanted to play games. He wanted to do some of his science experiments. And I explained to him, you know, if he's going to be on TV, it's more about helping other kids, helping parents to show them about fun learning. So it's something that he wanted to do. At first, I didn't want to show his face on the internet or not any parts of the internet, but he kept asking. So I was like, well, let's try it. So okay. He kind of came up with the idea.
Okay. Well, it looks like it's pretty successful, because I really see that he's engaged with the majority of the whole project. So how is that now? Is it more of a Montessori idea where he's coming up with the experiments and it's totally child led, or is this you forcing him?
Oh, no. You know what? If you see his personality, I really can't force him to do a lot of stuff. So, so he comes up with most of the experiments. What we'll do is, you know, we have science books, and from my blog, we have a whole bunch of activities that we've done. So I'll say, okay, so do you want to shoot another video? What do you want to do? So as far as the activities, he usually comes up with it, because if it's something that he doesn't want to do, it's not going to go well.
Yes.
So I just make sure that, you know, he wants to do it, because like you said, he is taking the lead. He's giving directions. He's doing the experiments. I'm in some of the videos, but I'm usually just behind the camera or my phone doing the videos. So yeah, he has to want to do it. If not, it won't. The video just won't turn out correctly. So
right. And I think that's important for parents to know that may be listening, because in this time that we're in, where everyone's shut in and parents and grandparents and uncles and aunts and friends are engaging in homeschool activities, you know, they may look at your video and say, wow, how does she get him to do all those things? Or why does he even want to do that? Because
right,
they don't understand that it has to be sort of child led. He has to want to do that in order for it to, you know,
right,
take place. Yeah.
And we've been doing science experiments ever since he was 2. So he's used to doing hands-on activities with me. Mm-hmm. I've been working with him since he was a baby. So not with science experiments, but, you know, with the ABCs and everything and numbers and letters. So he's used to doing hands-on projects, and he's very curious. And so in order for me to answer his questions, I try to find interactive activities to answer his questions. So he's just used to doing it. It's just something that that's normal for him.
Absolutely, because I read here that he learned to spell and read at 21 months. He was counting numbers by 27 months and multiplying by 36 months. Yes. How did you teach your little baby all of those skills so early?
Well, you know, the kids, babies, their brains from 0 to 3, they have this rapid brain growth. And when I was pregnant, I was reading about the brains of babies in the womb and once they come out into the world. So I just kind of took advantage of that time. So I would start off by, even when he was in my womb, reading to him. And we would read every night, and he would just get used to me reading books. And I wouldn't just read books. We would act them out. So he expected before bedtime, even when he was a baby, to hear a story. And my main goal was to expose him to words. So we would sing, I would tell him stories. Even like if we were taking a walk, I would just talk, just talk about anything. Or if we're, you know, sitting down playing, I would talk about, just expose him to words just by talking. And as far as numbers, we use a lot of the magnetic letters. You know, babies like to touch things. Mm-hmm. So I would just let him touch and feel the magnetic letters. And I would, you know, just talk to them. Oh, this is 1, this is 2, and this is 3. And I would make the letters dance. Mm-hmm. And then there's another CD that we would listen to in the car. It's called Mark D. Pencil. And it's a hip hop CD, and it introduces kids to ABCs, 1, 2, 3. So we would dance to that. So he would see the letters. He would dance to the letters. I always got books with letters, numbers, and colors in them. So he would see them in books, hear them. So it was, with all that exposure, natural exposure, it was kind of like inevitable for him to learn it. And it was natural because it wasn't like I was giving him a sheet of paper and, you know, we were sitting down doing it. It was more hands-on. And, you know, if you hear it every day, if you hear it often, kids will learn it. So yes. That's kind of how I taught him, just through toys, dancing, singing, books. So it was just natural for him to learn it.
Wow, that's wonderful. So tell us about your background. You have experience in doing social work, and you teach through play therapy. Is that where most of this comes from?
Actually, most of it comes from my upbringing. When I was young, my brother, he's 11 years older than me, and he would, teach me about math, about money, just by sitting down and doing role plays with me. And my mom, when I was when I started first writing in cursive, she would have me sit down and write all the bills out, so I knew how much all of our utilities cost. Mm-hmm. So my family was really hands on and teaching me just different educational concepts. And then I think when I was young as well, when my mom was at work after school, I would go to a lady's house. Her name is Miss Lou, and all these kids would come there. She would just have a bunch of games there. So we would always play games. Some were educational games. Some were games that were just fun. And so that's how I learned about, you know, just learning through games. And then once I was in graduate school, I started a business where I would go into schools and teach kids financial literacy and various life skills, but it was all game-based and interactive-based. So I just made it a rule, like when I was teaching kids, that I only wanted to talk for 15 minutes, and the rest of the time, like 45 minutes or so, would be dedicated to the game so they can learn by doing and learn through the games. And social work, the play therapy, it did help me because you are working with kids who may have behavioral issues, and you're teaching them by playing with them, if that makes sense. So if I'm teaching a child about sharing, I'm playing with the child, and we're practicing sharing together. So that kind of was in line with my philosophy of teaching kids through play.
Wow, that is so wonderful. So you spoke about your brother, and he's 11 years older than you. I have here that you all have written a book together. Tell us about that book concerning financial literacy in children.
Yeah, so I've, like I said, I started a business where I would teach financial literacy when I was in graduate school. And he I would say my mom and dad were the one that introduced me to financial literacy with the, you know, writing out the bills. And he kind of took it a little bit further. When I was 17, he gave me the book Rich Dad, Poor Dad by Robert Kiyosaki. And I would, when I was probably in high school, he had a business and I would go stay with him about 3 weeks in the summertime and I would help him with the business. And so I learned about entrepreneurship through him and also his wife. And we would play, like I said, we would read Robert Kiyosaki books, and we would also play his game, which is called Cash Flow for Kids and then Cash Flow 101. And again, like I said, just learning through games. And so I wanted to expose my son to financial literacy just from reading books. I know that it's important to teach kids at a young age. And I wasn't confident in writing the whole book myself. So I asked him to help me because he has over 20 years in the financial business. He was a branch manager at a bank. He is a stock manager. He has his, you know, all these financial certifications. So I would write the book and then he would read over it and read over the activities for me and try to correct it, you know, make sure I was using the correct financial terms. So that's why I asked him to do it, because he had expertise in teaching kids financial literacy. And also for him, he has a trader's game, where he goes into different schools and community centers and he teaches kids about the stock market through a game that he created. So,
oh, wow. Okay. That's exciting. We'd be interested in getting those links so we could share them with our listening audience. So I also know you told us that you have a blog. You yes. also have a website, and I'm sure that our listeners can purchase all of your books and curriculum from that website.
Yes. It's called Simply Outrageous Youth, and youth is youth.org. So Simply Outrageous Youth.org. So yes, all my books can be purchased from that website. And I also have two online courses. One online course is Teach Your Toddler to Read Through Play. So I have a book about it and I have an online course about it. And the other course is about accelerated learning techniques for kids. So it's 9 strategies so kids can do accelerated learning. So like if they're studying for a test or they need to learn facts for school, I teach different methods for them to learn facts in like 10 minutes instead of like sitting in a chair and learning and trying to learn those facts for an hour. So some accelerated learning techniques that I have in that course.
Okay, so it sounds like the accelerated learning course can go well into high school if parents need it be.
Yeah, yes. And I actually use it for myself. Like if we're going to a grocery store, I'll like, there's a method called the body method. So I won't write down the grocery list. I'll use my body to remember that list. So yes, it can be used for adults as well, actually.
The body method. Wow, we need to look that up. Well, it sounds like you are well skilled in making sure that we can get what we need to teach our children, because this is definitely not how they teach them in regular school. So parents need all the help that they can get as they are thrust into this new occupation of homeschooling their children. And I think it's a wonderful thing. Well, thank you so much, Andrea. Now, do you have any other last words for our listeners?
I just want to thank them for listening in. I do want to say, if you could tune in to Corbin's Fun Learning Adventures, you'll get a lot of science experiments, activities that you could do with your kids. They don't have to be as young as him. He's 5 years old. You could do them, you know, with elementary school kids, middle school kids, and even high school kids. I would say my website, simplyoutrageousyouth.org, has a lot of activities there too for kids. And I would just say, you know, I know this time can be difficult for parents who are used to their kids going to school, but, you know, just be patient. And I would say, you know, when they're teaching them, you know, ask them what they like to do. The kids, like if they like to make videos, maybe they can make videos out of the information. If they like games, maybe they can make up a game about the information. Just try to make the information relevant to them and make it fun so that it will stick. So.
Absolutely. And I think it's important for the parents to know that they will be learning as well, right?
Yes, yes. I learn every day.
Yes, yes, yes. Absolutely. Well, we want to thank you for joining us. And we also want to let our listeners know that they are listening to us on Black Talk Radio Network, also on SoundCloud. Join us for our podcast that we have going on all the time. Thank you so much. And we will join you again next time.
Thank you.